Hello, my friends. This is Dan Riley, and I'm blessed again to be with you for a little time here. And I welcome you wherever you are to begin, as we do, to just sort of be here. Life has its own pace, doesn't it? And even if, as weather has slowed us down here a little bit, may have slowed you down a bit today, there's still a sense of urgency about life, and it's natural, and wanting to get things done. And that's wonderful. And it often is externalized in anxiety or anxiousness or good plans or excitement. And so times like this are not counter those, but contain those when we take a little while and open up to the light that is within. Peace and gentleness of the abiding one. The one who abides in each one of us, the one who sustains all of creation, is profoundly intimate to each creator, our great creator. Those of us who walk in the Christian faith have come alive and are coming alive to the one we call Christ, the anointed one, the light that has come into the world. And we hear about that through these readings on what is the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it was an amazing day here already. It was a diffused light day. And I think of Merton talking about Tom Merton, whose life we now will be celebrating in this coming year, especially a wisdom figure, talked about Hagia Sophia, highest wisdom, and talked about her as diffused light, this light of God that is out and moving and among and with and in us all. And you could feel it in the chapel today as students arrived who were from at least 5 different colleges, over 25 students, just a wonderful gathering of young women and young men who had been here from Friday until today. I had missed their company. Brother Joe and I were out to celebrate with John Scarzafava and his family and wonderful Margaret Briner, dear friend of ours and a member of the university's community, director of the Higher Educational Opportunity Program for years, 20, and she's gifted us so much. Each of them people who bear light and in their own way say some of the closing words of the second reading today, which is awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Prophets who are urgent to us and call us to a place of response and responsibility, and they're there for us. And we actually hear about that in the gospel today. There's a blind man present here, present to us, present to Jesus, and Jesus is with him. And he sees him, and they call out for him. And the simple reading that we hear is very beautiful. Jesus had placed earth, clay, moistened earth from his saliva on the man's eyes. And when asked by other people in the community when this man is now seeing, who opened your eyes? He says, the man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. In other words, he reached out to me, he touched me, and I know his name. The story unfolds a bit later. We hear him name Jesus as he is a prophet. They're back analyzing him again. Oh, well, who was this character who reached you? After all, you were blind. You're a blind man. He is a prophet. Deepening revelation, understanding, experience of Christ, a prophet. One who brings hope, the hope for healing, not only for ourselves, you or me, but for the world. A prophet truly bears hope and faces into darkness, the darkness of our own blindness, and invites us to see with this diffused light that's around us. Even in what seems to be dark, still, difficult, cold times, in a winter that seems to want to hang on, there's a prophet here, there's a belief, there's a truth, there's this Lent, this new spring, this breaking in. He's Jesus. For we who are Christians, we know him as one who walks with us and anoints us, is close to us, and is a prophet who bears hope for us where we get discouraged and lifts us up, illumines our day, brings light. And the challenges, though, as with John and Margaret, the challenges of being light for others, not only finding light on our path and delighting in the fact that we've experienced things that have brought us there, but now we bring others. We have the challenge that we, with our names, would bear the name of prophet, the activity of one who brings hope and light to others, who continually walks that way with them. And then the third movement in this revelation that's happening here for this blind man who is now seeing, he meets Jesus again. They have another great encounter, and Jesus heard that they'd been throwing him out, and he found him, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man said, "Who is he, sir, and that I may believe in him?" Jesus says, "You have seen him. The one who's speaking with you is he." And he says, "I do believe, Lord." There's an intimacy moving among us that longs to lift us up. And I felt it in our chapel today with these students from all these colleges, and see their intimacy with one another, the goodness on their face, and their longing to be free. Last night, and you might see pictures of this, I came into the house with Joe later after our celebration for Margaret Briner on our campus, and the house was dark. They had walked down from a beautiful service in the chapel where they'd been able to scribe on small pieces of paper parts of their lives, aspects of their experience that were still dark, that needed mercy. They cried out for healing. That would know that light from light has come into their lives and would again. And bringing these small pieces of paper down, folded up and crumped maybe into their hands, they walked through the darkness of a chilly night into our house of peace, where there was a fire burning in the fireplace. It had been meant to be an outdoor bonfire, and as they wished, and with some of them still holding their handmade candles from this theme of light, they bore forward that which needed healing and mercy, and flicked it in the fire, hoping, believing in the prophecy of light. Joe and I came into the house when this was coming to completion, and I could see, even in a darkened house with the simple candles and the fire from the fireplace that washed their faces and bounced around the space, that this diffused light is ours. That this light, even in the places of darkness, will overcome and will bring us to new places and times. The light, who are you that I might believe? I do believe, Lord. Our paths are all different, and I don't mean to in any way impose upon you a path that isn't yours today. And that's precisely why we're here, sitting. Sitting with a waiting and anticipation to awaken from our sleep, to arise from our dead places, as the second reading from Ephesians says, and I mentioned earlier. The writer says, "Brothers and sisters, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." And so let us do that first by this simple practice of being here, of relishing this quiet. And if you're feeling some dark place within or some enclosure that needs opening, gently let it open to the light that is present now. The peace that is here for the world is here for you and me right now. The prophecy of hope, of cleansing, of renewal, comes without judgment. It comes with mercy. And it is born to us. It is born to us now in the spirit of light and peace. Sit as you might and breathe as you will, and let go of those things that you want to flick into the fire of renewal. And let the light of that fire, now burning in your heart and on your face and others, dance out into the world. Out and into the world. As it comes into us as breath of life and moves out into the world. Peace, my friend. May the light that we anticipate be ours now. May the longing for healing break in upon our brokenness, that we may bring the fullness of love and light to others. Peace be with you. Dan Reilly, your friend.
The Lord is my light, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light, the Lord is my light, the Lord is my light and my salvation. My light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge.